We don't go a full 55 minutes for a break after lunch, and you know why I don't do that. Because I don't trust you. The rules are, again, if one eye can close, two eyes simultaneously, you're in the prone position doing push-ups. Okay. Also, I want to talk about some resources here. If you're interested, this is our semi-technical book, Without Excuse. It's a very powerful book, just destroys the whole idea of materialism. It's all about information. What is information? Where does it come from? And in here we prove that information is non-material. It can be easily proved. Another book is The Rights Fight. We're very much a rights-oriented country. But if you stop somebody, you want to stop somebody in their tracks, just ask them a question. What is a right? Where did they come from? And how do you know? Most people can't even answer the first question. What is a right? So this is all about rights. And where do they come from? Also, next week, again, we have the Christian Educators Conference, if you're interested. If you want a little review, come to that class, and you get even some more new material on that. If you would like to help us out, we try and keep the cost as low as possible. We rely only on donations. That's our ministry. My wife and I do not take a salary. We haven't taken a salary in over 6 years. I'm getting my Social Security. You're not going to get it if you're young. I'm taking all mine while I can. So if you'd like to help us out, we always need help because we tend to lose money on these courses. And also, if you'd like to sign up for our newsletter, we have a sign up for that. It comes electronically, so it's very easy to get rid of if you don't like it. Now, this afternoon, we had a few questions this morning. I like to encourage questions and people giving information. I'm going to start this in a biblical fashion, and then we're going to vary from that just a little bit. Because in the Bible, we all start with what? In a state of punishment, basically. We're all born with a sin nature. So you're all going to start with 100 push-ups. We're going to do this. You all owe me 100 push-ups. But the unbiblical side is you can work your way out of this. If you ask a good question or answer a question, I'll take 10 push-ups off. You get bonus points for asking me about my grandchildren. Yes. I'd like to talk about a little bit who we are, since I've been up here giving all this information. We're a Creation Training Initiative, CTI. Our website is Creation Training. We don't use the word initiative because most people can't spell that word. So we just call ourselves creationtraining.org. We're a 501c3, means we're a nonprofit, and we stick to that. We're very careful with that, keep pretty good records. We started in February 2011. Before that, I was working with Access to Genesis for about 6 years, one of the main speakers and authors. And then Ken and I got together, and he knew what I wanted to do. I like education, and I wanted to train others how to speak and teach on this subject. My goal in here, I have a personal goal, is that one or more of you will pick this subject up and want to start teaching it. It could be to the youth, it could be to the children, it could be adults. We already know we have Pastor Scott teaching it in this church, and that's a blessing that you already have somebody who can teach it. Most churches don't have anybody. If you decide you'd like to teach this, you can have all the PowerPoint slides for free, and I'll give you an entire electronic copy of the manual, and you can make as many copies as you want, and it's yours. You can change the PowerPoint slides any way you want, the way you like to teach. So if you'd like to get into this and start doing more, and I'll be available as a resource if you have questions. If you want my cell phone number, it's on my business card. My direct email is on my business card. And if you decide, you can call that. Any question comes up. So I'm here to help you, anybody that wants to teach this, be able to do this. Our mission statement. We're here to equip Christians with knowledge, skills, be able to teach this subject so that they can in turn go out and train the next generation to stand firm. We're getting slaughtered out there, folks. Absolutely slaughtered. And it's time we turn this thing around. The team. This is basically the team. Funny, two of us have the same last name there. The wife has the same last name as me. It's only by marriage. And she's the finance person in the events and tells me what to do. We have Raul Langan. He's our webmaster and our multimedia person. He does all our filming. We have a green screen in our house. And we can film, so it makes it look like we can be anywhere in the world. We do a lot of video. We have over 80 videos on our website, 30-minute videos for free. You can have those. They're all free. A lot of times I'll do teaching. Sometimes I'll interview other scientists around the world. The nuclear physicist that's coming, we'll interview him on there, get a session with him. We've interviewed three of the Cincinnati Bengals football players. It was tight getting them all in the screen at one time. We also have a radio show here, 94.1 FM, every Saturday at noon. Just missed it. I have a half-hour show I'm on. And on there I'm doing teaching on this subject. And occasionally I'll have some visitors come in there also interview. This is our board. We have a two pastors and an attorney. Wow. We found an attorney. The two pastors, Pastor Jay Lucas, church about 500 in Ohio. He is the author of The Rights Fight and several other books on presuppositional apologetics. He's also an excellent debater. He's debated the president of American Atheist. He's an excellent debater. Bill Rillo is a pastor, was an engineer for 20 years, then went into the pastorate. And I like the way he thinks as an engineer. And then John Pence, he is the Answers in Genesis attorney. And he's on our board. Wonderful person. He's got a lot of good sound advice. So that's our team. Our vision is we want a teacher in every Christian school and every Christian church that can teach this subject. We're going to stop losing our youth. We have 4 one-day courses. You're in one of them. We have the one-day advanced creation apologetics. Again, we talked about that this morning, evidence for God. We have the one we're going to do next Saturday, the pilot. And so if you want a review of this, you can come. It's $25. We feed you lunch again and snacks. And since it's a pilot, we're doing it cheaper. And then if you want to learn how to teach, this is the book that'll do it. I've got a wide background in education from junior and senior high school mathematics in public schools. I've taught Christian schools. Taught graduate and doctorate level, even though I don't have a doctorate, but I knew more computers than the professors did. They didn't know how to get around security. I did. And I've taught, I've ran Microsoft's worldwide software engineering training, run U.S. Sprint's worldwide engineer training, taught Northwestern School of Ministry for doctorate levels. So I've done a lot of things in education. You know what that means? I found a lot of things that simply don't work. It's kind of like saying, I've been in computers since 1967, and I have. That was my first computer, 1967. Wow, you must know a lot. You know what that means is 98% of everything I've ever known is obsolete. That's the practical side. I'm trying to forget the other 2%. So I have learned a lot of things that don't work, but through experience and watching other people, I have learned some things that do work. So we have a lot of books and resources over there. So pick some of those up. And if you have any questions after the class, feel free to. If you'd like the PowerPoint slides, I think they're on our website. You can download them all for free. But if you want to teach, I'll give you an electronic copy of the manual. So that's a little bit of who we are. We also have a 5-day Creation Apologetics Teachers College we offer once a year. We typically have had it in North Carolina. We're thinking that this next year, if we cost us a lot of money to do this, so we're trying to raise funding so we can continue this. This next year, we're looking at 2017 in New Mexico, Glorieta Conference Center in New Mexico. They're offering us a decent price. We only take 60 students because this is not a class you come and listen to all day long. This is 5 days of training, 10 hours a day you're in the class, not 10 days an hour. That's a different world. But 10 hours a day you're in class and you're studying at night. The common comment we get, that's the most intense class I've ever been in my life, and I loved it. We have a success rate of 100%. No failures. People work hard there. Over half our students are now out there teaching around the country. You won't find too many courses like this. Another comment we get, I learned more in these 5 days than I did several semesters at a seminary. That's what you're going to get. You'll be responsible for doing presentations, 2 5-minute presentations, 3 to 5 minutes. We time you. I have a stopwatch there. 1 second over, I take a point off. We're not going to develop pastors that way, are we? Sorry, Pastor. I take a point off. You had to do 1 defense presentation, 3 minutes or less. You don't know what the question is going to be. You stand up there. We give you the challenge, and you have 3 minutes to give us an answer. Then you have to take a written final exam, closed book, closed note. And we have 100% success rate. And the class is hard, but we come together as a team. We've had a lot of great comments coming out of that class. They've not seen anything quite like this before. And you will not get tired. Guarantee it. You will not be tired in that class. My wife can testify to that. We're also working on some new things, the sanctity of human life. We're developing an educational video on that. We're going around the country interviewing people. How many know Randy Alcorn? Heard of him. We went out to his house. We interviewed him. He's answering some of the challenges for us. We have one of his books over here. That'll be one of the books we put in the package there. We'll talk about the Bible. We'll talk about the scientific aspects. We'll talk about the law on there. And it's going to be a complete set. So a youth pastor, a pastor, or somebody in Sunday school or home school can take this and have it, the whole course right there. Training people about how to defend the pro-life position. How to ask the right questions and go on the offense. Then again, if you'd like to help us, we do have those cards over there. We do need support to continue these type of classes. Out of our own ministry, we have to put up $31,000 to run that five-day class. So every year we have to add $31,000 into our budget to put that class on. So if you want us, if you want to get my direct email and phone number, we have my business cards over there. Feel free to pick them up. Don't be afraid to call or email me. I like to hear from you. So that's about who we are. That's the commercial. Now we're back to reality. Okay, we're just getting ready to go into geology. Anybody like geology here? Anybody talk to rocks? Now, it's okay to say words to rocks, but if you're hearing back from them, you're in trouble. They do have some information in there. How many have been to Mount St. Helens? Yes, I actually took a couple geologists with me, and we camped out in the crater there. Spent a couple days doing some research in the crater. That was kind of fun. Mount St. Helens. What year did it blow up? 1980. What day and month? May 18th, 1980, at 8:32 in the morning. An earthquake hit that mountain. Magnitude about 5.1. At that point in time, the largest landslide in known history took place. When I say in known history there, largest landslide we know of. The entire side of that mountain just slid down. And as it slid down, it hit into the lake there, a lake called Spirit Lake. It caused a water wave to go about 800 feet high on the other side of the mountain. Any surfers here? That was the big one. You won't miss that one. Tremendous devastation. Well, there's what Mount St. Helens looked like before May 18, 1980. Wonderful place for gaming, fishing, recreation. Wonderful place. Were a long ages necessary? No. What a difference a day makes. Sounds like a song, doesn't it? Those of you who like music. Tremendous devastation. That mountain was 1,300 feet lower after that initial eruption in 1980. Thousands and thousands of acres were just devastated there. Let's take a look at some of the results of that explosion. There's a canyon there. It's nicknamed the Little Grand Canyon. It's about 1/40th the size of the Grand Canyon. Has some of the same geologic features we find in the Grand Canyon. Question is, how long did it take to make this canyon? And the answer is 1 day. Oh, my, how do you know this is only 1 day? Well, that's easy. 1 day was not there, and the next day it was. It's so simple. We have the observational evidence that large canyons do not require long ages. So any professor in these schools teaching only long ages, they're not educating. They're indoctrinating. Big difference. 1 day. Sedimentation. We look at the sides of canyon walls. We see they're made up of many layers, sometimes very thin layers, sometimes only millimeters thick. The normal explanation you get in these geology classes is each one of those layers may have taken a season, year, or years to lay down. So if you look at this canyon and count those layers up, you might assume this canyon is thousands of years old, and your answer is absolutely wrong. They were all laid down in accumulation about 1 day. As the pyroclastic flows, there's one of those big words again. Pyroclastic flow, hot gas and ash coming out of that volcano. And as the mud flows came down off that mountain, they sorted out the sediments into thin layers rapidly. Long ages are not required. We have many other examples of catastrophes that laid out these thin layers rapidly. Long ages are not necessary.
question.
Yes.
Trying to get rid of the push-ups.
Okay. 10 push-ups off. Okay. You're down to 90.
So those layers were caused from Mount St. Helens, and yet what did later the in the same event, water washed down and cut that?
I was wondering if anybody was going to ask that question. Here's what happens. There was initial eruption in 1980 that laid all these sediments down. Then in 1982, there was another eruption that carved these canyons out. Good question. He's down to 90. Everybody else, with exception of the people that fed me, are at 100. I'm going to let you know, I've actually had some people end up with over 100 push-ups, so be careful. Isn't the best way to teach fear and intimidation? It is wonderful. How many agree with that? You've never been in the Marines. Let's look at some more. Eastern Washington, area called the Scablands. Why? It's not much grows there. Kind of barren. There's an area called Palouse Falls. Gorge there. This is solid rock. Solid rock. This canyon is carved through that. How did that happen? Well, we've been told that that took hundreds of thousands of millions of years to carve out. And in the early 1900s, that's what everybody was teaching. Millions of years to carve this canyon out through solid rock. All the geologists were saying that except one. One man, J. Harlan Bretz, Bretz, stood up and said, "You're all wrong." How many of you would dare stand up and tell the whole world of scientists, "You're all wrong and I'm right"?
Jesus
Christ. He'd be the only one, yeah. He did, too, pretty much. Because his apostles abandoned him, too, didn't he? This man did. He was openly ridiculed. You can see the letters that were written about this man. They just openly ridiculed J. Harlan Bretz. For 50 years, he took this ridicule. Then he passed away. Shortly after he passed away, a group of geologists were going through the Scablands, and suddenly their eyes were opened. They saw the evidence. It had been there all along. And they called back and said, "Guess what? J. Harlan was correct." The evidence was there, but their belief in evolutionism blinded them. They couldn't see it. And it's right in front of them. What do you find there? Acres and acres and fields of giant boulders weighing tons. Small streams do not move boulders weighing 10, 15, 20 tons. That takes a large amount of water to do that. And they're just riddled all over there. That's how I get my name in there. So they started investigating. And they noticed that the one end there, there used to be a large lake there. Anybody know the name of that one?
Missoula.
Lake Missoula, yes. A large lake, almost the size of our Great Lakes. We're talking almost 1,000 feet deep of water. You can tell how high the water went in the lake because the sediments on the sides there. It looked like there was a natural dam that held it back. And when that dam burst, that water came rushing down through there, moving all these giant boulders and carving these canyons out rapidly through solid rock. They now have a monument there. And paraphrasing it, it basically says how one man can be right and the whole world wrong. I don't know if they really thought through what they just said there. But it's a monument to J. Harlan Bretz, who stood firm for 50 years of ridicule, and he was right, and everybody else was wrong. You know, if you teach junior hires, that's a great story to tell. Because they're going through all kinds of transitions, aren't they? Including the whole transition of embarrassment when they do anything. So it's a great story for junior hires, but it's a true story. You can find this out on the internet and get books on it. Yes?
When did the book?
We don't know because there was no real population here then. You're down to 90. Yeah. That person sitting next to you still has 100. So I point that out. Now, grumbling you can have push-ups put on. The Bible says something about grumblers, doesn't it? So Palouse Falls, another testimony that large canyons don't require long ages. Then we have something called polystrate fossils. What does poly mean besides cracker? Many. We're talking about many layers of strata here. And what we're talking about are tree fossils. Tree fossils spanning many layers of strata. Now, we'll specifically talk about coal beds here. We actually find these polystrate fossils spanning many seams of coal, some 10, 15, to over 20 feet in length, spanning, sitting there in coal beds. Well, what's so significant about that? Well, according to evolutionists, coal takes millions of years to form. We start with swamp vegetation. Then it gradually decays and mixes with other minerals and elements and slowly turns into peat. There are many more long ages that peat slowly hardens and turns into coal. There's only one problem with that explanation. It's never been observed. But yet we teach it as a fact in school, don't we? It's never, ever been observed. And here's the other problem. If that coal took millions of years to form, none of those tree fossils would be there. They'd have all decayed and not been there. But yet, there they are. In these beds there, coal. Wife and I have been to some in West Virginia. The miners do not like these things. One, they're hard, breaks their equipment. Secondly, if they fall out of there, they're going to kill you. They're heavy. Anybody pick up a petrified log? They're heavy. So, polystrate fossils. The other thing we notice about these polystrate fossils all over the world, they didn't grow in these coal beds. How do we know? There's no root structures there. It's as if they've all been broken off. Well, how did that happen then? Let's go back to Mount St. Helens. All that forest area there. When that eruption occurred, it just blew all those trees down. And many of them got washed into the lake there. And in Spirit Lake there, we had a large log mat. Hundreds of thousands of trees just all floating in that lake. And after several years, some started getting a little waterlogged and they started bobbing up and down like this in the lake. Then some of them started to sink down into the bottom of the lake. Rather than rely on stories and conjecture, several scientists decided to go down, do some diving down to the bottom of the lake. Know what they discovered? The bark had fallen off those trees, mixed with other minerals and elements, and in less than 20 years, we already have a thick layer of peat down there. It's observable. Long ages are not required. If we were to get the right heating conditions down there, maybe another 20, 30 years, we could have a thick layer of coal. And guess what would be embedded in that coal? Trees that did not grow there. We're finding this all over the world now. Trees embedded in strata and coal that didn't grow there. A great testimony that long ages are not true. Yes?
Why would the tree be vertical?
Why would the tree be vertical? Because when they were standing almost upright in the water because they got waterlogged at the root end, the heavier end, and they just sink down in that way. Some we do find this way, but we do find enough just early. Yellowstone, we found many of them there. They took away the sign that this was many different forests that grew there.
So we've seen both.
Yeah. Yes, we have. 90. Yes. Let's look at oil. Look at this. Technology describes the one that mimics nature. 30 minutes. Doesn't take a long time to make oil. It's the right ingredients, keep oxygen out, get the right temperature, and we can make oil in 30 minutes. It's not going to solve any energy crisis yet. Because it still takes a lot of energy to create this. The trade-off is not good yet. But the fact is, it does not require hundreds of thousands or millions of years to make oil. Petrified wood. You go to the internet, get the chemical ingredients for turning wood into petrified wood in 1 week. Doesn't take a long period of time. We've been snookered, haven't we, into believing long ages. That's another technical term. Stalactites, top or bottom? Top, right. Just always remember T for top, then the default's the other one. Stalactites, we're told, takes long ages. Well, we've actually seen them grow 1 inch a year for 10 years. I was in the Arizona Kirchner Caverns. They're east of Phoenix. Kirchner Caverns. Wife and I were going through there, and we listened to the spiel. They talked about these columns of this many millions of years old. These stalactites took a long period of time. Now, I'm not there to get in a big argument with the tour guide, because they're just telling us what they were told to say. They've got a script, and they're going to say it. Most of the time, they're not geologists. They don't know the difference. They're just mimicking. We got all done, almost all done, came close to the end of the tour. And here's this stalactite about this long. And tour guide makes this statement. We don't know how that stalactite got there because it wasn't here last year. There's the evidence right in front of me. Still can't see it. It does not take long periods of time to make stalactites in these big columns. It's the right conditions and chemicals. Now, that's just a very little touch on geology. Let's go to fossil record. We're going to go through seven evidences on the fossil record. We're going to go through the Cambrian explosion, lack of transitions, textbooks, history, fossil graveyards, marine creatures. Then the last one, no mechanism for change, we're going to save to chapter 7. Or chapter 4. I want to show you how to do the fossil record and keep it real easy. How's that sound? Anyway, I did a talk in Toronto, Canada a couple weeks ago. We had 1,000 people in attendance. And one of my talks was, are apes and humans cousins? I didn't talk about a single fossil and demolish the whole idea. I did away with the whole foundation of evolution by showing natural selection does not cause evolution, and neither do mutations. In other words, I went after their foundation of Darwinian evolution, showed it's impossible scientifically, never had to say anything about a fossil, and won the whole argument. So let's look at this. Cambrian explosion, number one. That's my favorite place to start. Cambrian explosion. It's an easy one. In other words, the fossil record should always be a win for Christians. We should never lose the fossil record. So why are we losing it in school all the time? We haven't trained our youth. You don't have to go to all these different fossils. Cambrian explosion. Now, don't think like a dynamite explosion. That's not what we're talking about here. Cambrian explosion. What is it? You go down to the bottom layers. We call them the Cambrian and Precambrian layers. If you can't remember those words, just remember bottom layers. How many like easy things? I like easy things, thin books with lots of pictures. Yeah, we like those. Okay. So down at the bottom layers, what we find are fossils of single cells. Yes, we find fossil cells down there. We also find fossils of very complex creatures like trilobites, have a very complex eye mechanism. Jellyfish, seashells, and even some fish we find down there. Very complex creatures. But what's so important about all that? What we don't find are any transitions. Zero. I'll make sure you understand this. I'm going to say this in two languages. Zero. Nada. Yeah, that's double emphasis there. No transitions leading from a single cell to a clam, from a single cell to a jellyfish, or a single cell to a fish. No transitions. Almost every single body shape shows up in the Cambrian explosion with zero transitions leading up to it. It's as if, and this might really get you, it's as if they're created after their kind. That's exactly what the evidence shows. There's no evidence for evolution down there. Zero. Wow. This is good stuff. So when somebody starts talking about fossils, you say, okay, I understand what you're trying to talk about that one a little bit, but let's talk about the Cambrian explosion, the foundation for your fossil record. Now you are in control of the conversation. They might say, no, I'm going to talk about this one. No, that one is irrelevant if you don't have a starting base. You control the conversation. It's kind of like when people come to your door and knock on your door, whether they have white shirts on or other things. I control the conversation. I will ask the questions. And when they answer them according to what I know they really believe, then I invite them in. And then I ask them some more questions. And I usually find out which one is the trainer, which one is the trainee right away, and always ask the trainee the questions because I have fun. They always turn to the trainer trying to get their answer. It's kind of a fun game. But you know what? We're there to be what when they come to our door? witnesses. Yes, God brought you somebody. And if they keep hitting enough Christian houses, they're going to get a little discouraged, aren't they? Maybe they won't want to go in too many houses and knock on doors. God brings you these people. Well, the brothers or not, they'd make a choice to come to your door. But what a wonderful opportunity. You don't have to go out anywhere. They're coming to you. That's why we need to know this stuff. We need to know how to witness to the different cults out there. We got opportunities. Let me read to you what they're teaching our youth about the Cambrian explosion. Now, it's not so much what they say here, but it's something they don't say here. Here's from a biology textbook. Paleontologists call the diversification of life during the early Cambrian period the Cambrian explosion. For the first time, organisms had hard parts, including shells and outer skeletons. During the Cambrian period, the first known representatives of most animal phyla evolved. You got that? They talk about evolution there. What didn't they say there? There are no transitions to support this statement. There's no scientific evidence at all to support their claim here of evolved. Do you see the deception being used in the public education system? I'm not talking about teachers now. Teachers got a job to do, and they have families to feed. We have to be careful with that situation. But when it's the system I go after. I go after the big ones. I want to go after the system here. It's the people who write these textbooks, the people that agree to put them in the schools. The teachers have jobs to do. Be careful. Don't ever attack a teacher in a classroom. You can ask them questions, but you always ask that question in a polite manner. You're there to be a witness, not beat people up. Okay? That's the way I train our youth. We've had courses training our youth how to ask questions in the classroom. And if you attack a teacher, we will not come to your defense. You deserve what you get. Okay. You had a question?
I was just wondering, to make a statement for the first time, how do they support that? There has to be a time before that.
This is
the evidence
of the time. Nope, they've never supported it other than this. They avoid the fact that there's no transitions. Or here's the other one. They do have another answer. It's called punctuated equilibrium. It happened so fast it didn't have enough time to lead the transitions. And they have a whole name for that. Punctuated equilibrium. Meaning, we have evolution without evidence, and you're supposed to believe it. That's exactly what that is. So if we find fossils, it proves evolution. If we don't find the fossils, it proves evolution. It's a hard game to play, isn't it? But this is what our youth are going through, and they need to be trained on this issue. Fossil record is ours. We should never lose it. Number two, lack of transitions. Okay, I'm going to give you a quiz here. You miss one, you fail. You know what failure means in my quizzes? Push-ups, yes, push-ups, thank you. Top row on the left is a picture of a fossil turtle. To the right of that is a picture of a living turtle. What does a fossil turtle look like? Isn't that amazing? Turtles have always looked like turtles. Okay, in the middle there is a fossil imprint of a spider. What does that look like? They've never changed. On the bottom, according to evolutionists, is a fossil of a 400 million year old starfish. What does it look like? Dumbest creature that ever lived on this planet. 400 million years, never grew legs to get out of the ocean.
Did Shirley have you remove the real picture of the spider?
Yeah. Now I can get those off the internet. I don't mind spiders. Spiders are actually the good guys when they're in your house with the small ones, because they won't gnaw on you very much, but they'll get rid of the bugs. But I prefer to have them outside. There are some bad ones, but basically spiders are pretty good guys.
Did Shirley hate spiders?
Oh, okay. That's what I said. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to be going around killing all the spiders. Black widows you can get rid of. They're not too nice. But And there's other good creatures, like ladybugs are good guys. Well, that doesn't make sense. Ladybugs are good guys, does it? We got a problem there. Yes?
I'm a little bit lost. I just want to make sure I'm understanding. So on the previous slide, you had the two bottom layers.
Yes.
And you're saying between those two, there was no...
Those two layers combined, we have no transitions in either of the layers.
So how's that different from number two, lack of transition?
The lack of transition? Now we're talking about the entire fossil record.
Okay.
The whole thing. The whole column. Then we have, according to evolutionists, on the left there is a fossil bat that's 40 million years old. What does it look like? Wasn't hard to tell, was it? We have fossil crabs look like crabs. Now, this one's a trick question. What does a fossil shrimp look like? Still looks like a cocktail, doesn't it? How many are getting hungry again? How many at this point think all you've done is taking breaks and eat?
Did you sign a reservation?
Yes, we did. What do dragonflies look like? Fossil dragonflies look like weird ones. Horseshoe crabs look like horseshoe crabs. Seahorses, no change. Frogs, no change. 100-year-old alligators, guess what they look like? Alligators today, no change. Where's the evolution in all this? Why don't they mention this in the school systems? Because they're not allowed to. Any science that refutes evolutionism, which is all the science, is not allowed in the classroom. That's why the teachers are in a very difficult situation now. Any science that goes against evolution is called religion. I've been in a number of public schools, been able to come in and speak. I've never had anybody fired. I'm very careful. I've trained some Christian school teachers how to do this. They're teaching Christian teachers that are in public schools. How to teach evolution, not compromise, and cause doubt about evolution. It's wordsmith. You've got to be very careful of the words you use. Never use negative language. What was that word? I love to talk. What did he say? I don't use negative words like no, never, and things like that. I use neutral words. Because students don't always hear what you say. They will interpret it. And then you could be in trouble. I just teach what's in their textbooks, and I teach critical thinking skills, but I use neutral words saying, well, we don't know this yet. However, we haven't figured this out. One of you might be the ones that figures out this solution. I know they never will, but I'm going to give them credit that maybe they will. Because I want to build people who want to like science and get into science. That's one of my goals. I want to be an encourager of going into science, not evolution. So I've never had anybody fired. I've caused great commotion now. I've had TV crews everywhere, news press everywhere, just wait for me to slip up. And I know enough about the press, how to handle a lot of that, how to handle a lot of their tricks. Oh, off the record. But the little red light's still on the camera. Be very careful. I never have my picture taken with the church in the background because that'll bias it. Never have your picture taken if you're looking into the sun. Anybody that's ever watched cowboy movies? You don't get into gunfights with the sun in your eyes. See, cowboy movies do have some worth there, don't they? So you learn all the tricks, the press. If I have somebody come and interview me, I won't say a word until I see their pen and pencil write down what I say. Because if they don't, they've already got an agenda. So the press is very biased, too. Here's another one. Somebody have a question? Yes. You just want 10 push-ups off. Yes. We're going to get to that. What our youth are seeing in the textbooks are not, in most cases, the actual fossil evidence found. What they are is pictures drawn by artists. What they're seeing a lot of is not the real evidence. And we've got a lot of examples of that. I'll show a couple here. So there are no such thing as a fish with legs. Never been found. Let's take, for example, here's one, the coelacanth. This fish was supposed to be extinct for 70 million years. They had found fossils ranging from 100 to 400 million years old, this fish. The claim was, and this was in our textbooks 20, 30 years ago, this fish was growing legs and becoming an amphibian. And they had pictures of this creature in the book with pseudo legs on. Been extinct for 70 million years, though. Guess what they found in the 1900s? Coelacanths still alive. They had not been extinct for 70 million years. You know what that means? They're saying these things are 70 million years old, these fossils, but yet they're still living today. What happened to all the transitions between 70 million years and today? Also, when they found these fish still living, guess what they looked like? Fish. No legs at all. Complete misinterpretation by the evolutionists. Yet they had the drawings in the textbooks. Here's another one. Tuatara lizard. This is one they like to use in dinosaur movies. Yes?
If they're saying that fish turn into something better, then they're saying something wrong with fish.
They're adapting to a new environment. Maybe there wasn't enough food in the oceans, so they decided to grow legs and be able to get out on land. That's exactly what they'll tell you. These creatures decided to do this. Or the giraffes decided to get bigger necks so they could reach their food. And I've actually heard on TV, the plants decided. You hear some wild things on it, but that's what they'll tell you. And that's why we went back into the ocean. Did you know that? Here's what happened. Fish grew legs, became amphibians, eventually became mammals. Then a mammal decided to go back into the oceans and became a whale. This is the story you're going to get right in the textbooks. The tuatara lizard. You know what tuatara lizards look like? The same as their fossil. 135 million years, no change. Norman Nevin, he's got his professor of medical genetics. The fossil record does not show a continuous gradual evolution. That's true, it does not, only in textbooks. But rather an abrupt and sudden emergence of new life forms. Many organisms appear without known ancestors. Indeed, some of the life forms persist in the fossil record virtually unchanged throughout geologic history. The only changes that we see are might be a little bit difference in size. For instance, we do find dragonflies with about a 3-foot wingspan. We find giganticism throughout the fossil record. Alligators 50 feet long. Cockroaches want you, not your food. Some things are very large. Kangaroos 10 feet tall. We find giganticism everywhere. Something was different. Now, I'm not saying we found people that are 10 feet tall. We have not found that. I know there's been a lot of scams out there on the internet suggesting that. We haven't found anything like that.
Is it not true that many of these gigantic or unusual forms lived in different niches?
They certainly could have.
Many would say, well, how is a man, a human, going to survive around some of these terrible dinosaurs? But they're isolated in a niche.
Yes.
And they could very well.
Sure, ecological zones, because we don't want to live next door to a lion, do we? That's not in the cage? Oh, we got one. Okay. There's a big, great big fuzzy kitty cats. Yeah, you have a question? Oh, it's time for a break. Okay. Does that count as a question? Okay, you're down to 90. Okay, let's take a good 8 minutes here.